We got PR nightmares going on with the San Francisco 49ers. Is Trey Lance undoubtedly the starter, and is he taking on a leadership role? And does Kyle Shanahan, has he made it clear that he wants Jimmy Garoppolo out of there? We're going to talk about all that and more with a special guest today right here on Locked On 49ers. Let's go.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On 49ers. I am your host today, rocking, not solo, but solo without my guy, Brian Peacock. You know what it is, man. Locked On 49ers. Got my guest host right here, Jason Aponte, 2103. I'm glad that you kind of put that on the screen for everybody watching right now, so I didn't have to ask you again, you know, what those numbers were right here. He is Jason Aponte at 2103 on Twitter. I'm at Eric_Crocker. And we want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. We're live here, man. And the 49ers this offseason have, gosh, they continue to give us content, right? As content creators, it's fun because this is the offseason. Most teams really don't have much to talk about. They have to make up these crazy storylines. I hate doing stuff like that. But the 49ers, I feel like it's the gift that keeps on giving. And they have definitely given us a lot of content and things to talk about, starting with what's going on with our guy Javon Kinlaw, former first-round pick, and Grant Cohn. And I think this is kind of a touchy subject. And at first, I'm like, you know what? We're going to stay away from it. A lot of people are talking about it. Let's talk about other things like that are more important, right? Like how OTAs are going. How did Trey Lance look? I guess ultimately we will get to that, but this is the elephant in the room, and a lot of people are talking about this. So let's discuss it. When you first heard the, I want to start from the beginning of Grant Cohn coming out on Twitter and basically saying what Javon Kinlaw has said to him. What were your initial thoughts when you just heard that?
Initially, my thoughts were, oh, that's pretty funny. And I didn't really digest it the correct way, Croc. And that should let you know right off the bat that I didn't take the time to properly process what he had said had happened. Because when you hear that, it sets a bad precedent for no matter however you view the way that Grant goes about his business. And I'm not going to tell another grown man how he does business and how he conducts himself, even if he is a friend of mine. I can give suggestions, and that's the good thing about being friends. Croc, you and I are friends. You've told me many times, yo, Jay, I think you're out of line. You're out of pocket here, right? It's all love. Right. You don't feel nothing about it, right? Like, it's if we're friends, we're able to speak to each other about it. But I'm not going to tell that man how to act. So at first, when I first heard it, I thought it was kind of funny. But then when I had a second to process it, that sets a bad precedent, especially for a professional athlete with a media member. Because regardless of whatever you think, Grant is a media member. Right. Now, you can't intimidate media members. You can't touch them. You can't go up to them. You can't, even if you don't necessarily put physical hands on people or anything like that, intimidation comes in different forms. Verbal, just body language, just vibes. You can't do things like that. And that's the first reaction that I had. At first, I thought it was funny until I had a chance to sit there and process it and say, wait a minute, that's actually not a good precedent for him and Grant. Like, this is not a good vibe off the bat. So that was my first thought about this.
Right. And, you know, obviously I came out and said, man, it's really a PR nightmare. And a lot of guys are trying to, you know, put the pieces together. You see it going in the media. I just saw Pat McAfee on the show, and he's kind of breaking it down. So that's a different perspective. And you're seeing two different views from this, or three different views. You're seeing the media member view. You're seeing the former or current player's view and how they're speaking out against it. And you're seeing the fans' perspective. And it seems like people are kind of split a little bit about this. I'll say this. Like you said, you and I, we both are really cool with Grant Cohn. I'm cool with Grant Cohn. Shoot, typically on Thursdays, I do a show with Grant Cohn, right? And I like to do that because I bring a different dynamic and a different perspective on certain things, right? And I think that's fun, right, to kind of balance each other in that way. Now, putting on my former player hat, I could see how it could come off as a little belittling, I guess, or demeaning, the way he kind of, you know, trolls, I guess the best way you could say, he kind of trolls players a little bit. And I talk to people a lot about the human element of these NFL players. I think fans, they view players as kind of just pawns, right? Like just kind of guys that kind of move around little chess pieces, but not as like real humans. I remember me, obviously I'm a huge fan, right? I've always been a football fan since I was on the New York Jets with a 49ers phone case. All right. So that's just to let you know like how much of a fan of the 49ers and football I am in general, like my history of the game and all that. I had that history and knowledge of the game and fandom heading to the NFL. So I'm in the locker room with Antonio Cromartie and Darrell Revis. And, you know, I see Tim Tebow and Mark Sanchez and all these guys that I've been watching over however many years. Braylon Edwards, you know, guys like that. And immediately the first thing that came to my mind was they're normal people. They just have more money than me, right? Like that's the difference. You know, they're normal just like us. It's not that just, you know, pawns, and they're not just, oh, let's just move this guy here and there. Like, no, they are real normal people and they have real normal emotions. And I think a lot of times when we see the way guys handle things, so, oh man, he has too much money to handle it that way. Like, no, like your money doesn't necessarily change the way you handle things. And if I had one big takeaway, you know, with my time in the NFL on players, it's more so the money or stardom or whatever you want to call it, it enhances who you are more than changes who you are. So when you see a guy like Javon Kinlaw, all it does is however he was before this, not the money didn't enhance it, but maybe the pedestal that he's on enhances it to where people can see like, hey, maybe he's just more of an emotional guy. Or hey, maybe he's just a guy that doesn't take any crap and he's tired of it. And he's going to approach you just like he would if he had $100 in his pocket or if he had $100 million in his pocket. He's going to approach you the same way. So I think a lot of the people want, they don't want him to stoop down. I don't even want to say stoop down to Grant's level, right? Grant does what he does. I think he does an amazing job of that. I think with the angle that Grant is trying to take, which is almost kind of like being the villain, right? He has done an amazing job of building a brand and platform doing it that way. And he's able to support his family that way. And he's doing all kinds of amazing things, right? Everybody's not going to like it though. And clearly you see the players, they are coming out and speaking out against him. So do you think that this will have kind of a, I don't want to say a snowball effect on Grant, but maybe change the way he covers the team or players, or does he change his tone? Because I don't know how much you can have guys speaking out against you the way that they are, right? Like if it's just one guy and he's a little insulted, whatever. But when you have the big dogs, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Eric Armstead, continuously pushing hot buttons, how does that maybe change your approach as a member of the media?
I mean, it's certainly a lesson that I've learned myself too as well. Under those helmets are people. They are at the end of the day. And I love your point about money doesn't change people. It just enhances who you are. And I'm not about to sit here and tell Javon Kinlaw how he should feel about criticism. The one thing that I will say is there's a way to analyze with constructive criticism. And then there's a line that technically shouldn't be crossed. And one thing that a lot of people forget is NFL players don't choose to be injured. For instance, Dee Ford. I've seen a lot of chatter about Dee Ford on Twitter, and I think it's actually disgusting. Well, Dee Ford's robbing the 49ers, and you don't think Dee Ford wants to be out there playing the game that he loves? You think that he's fine with that? You think that, sure, he's going to have that money. You don't think that he would love to play football? It's something that I hope is a lesson for everyone. There's lessons to be learned in this situation across the board for everyone, okay? It's been handled wrong on both sides. There's been mistakes made. And for me, it's more a lesson of there are still players under that helmet. And there's ways to analyze and there's ways to critique their play. I was listening to somebody kind of, and it made a light bulb go off in my head. It was a radio spot from somebody I can't remember off cuff, but you could say a player had a bad game, but you can't say that player doesn't belong because that player does belong. He's there. You had a bad game, you belong still because you belong in the league. Or if you're injured, you are injured, but you didn't mean to be injured. Again, there's a way to critique things down the middle. And I think that's the lesson that should be learned, not only by Grant, not only by, you know, Javon and how to conduct himself with that criticism, but I'm not, again, about to tell him how to feel about certain things that were said about him. And for all of us who analyze the game, even in the way that we do it on our smaller platforms, I'm nowhere near as big as many of these other guys. I'm just lucky enough to be here with you. But I learned a little bit more, too, about, hey, you remember that there's a guy under that helmet. Remember that their family members see all of that. Remember that these people are going to take up for their people. And one thing that I've kind of learned about this situation is this locker room is really, really tight. Yeah. To see this sort of uprising from so many, not just, you know, regular players, team captains, guys that are high-profile players, that part, if you want to be optimistic, is, well, your locker room is very tight-knit and they care about each other. So there's lessons to be learned on both sides, but I think the biggest lesson is there's a way to critique players. There's a way to do it without being mean or taking shots. And there's ways to handle that sort of criticism because that comes with the territory of being an NFL player. So there's lessons to be learned across the board, and there was mistakes made on both sides. And hopefully this is a big lesson on both sides, and everybody learns and grows from this is my hope.
We'll see. A lot of people have to grow from it. And I think Grant Cohn is growing in multiple ways from this, man. He's everywhere. Everywhere I look, he's being talked about. And I think that's cool for him from the business standpoint. But again, from the guys in the locker room, I think they have an issue with that. Coming up next, man, we are going to talk about Trey Lance. And I think we're getting the hint that he is the guy. After all the questioning this offseason, we're about to talk about that and more next. But first, I definitely want to tell you guys about AG1, our good folks over there, and how it is a one-stop shop when it comes to your nutrition. It's a lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It contains 1 gram of sugar. All you have to do is take that scoop, put it in a few ounces of water, shake it up, drink it. I'm telling you, it changes your energy that you have for the day. It improves your gut health and all those things. It really supports better sleep quality, recovery, mental clarity, all those things, all kind of awesome traits that it has. Tons of people, they take some kind of multivitamin, and it's important to choose one with high quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. AG1 is a small micro habit with benefits. All right, and it's one thing you take it every single day, every single morning. And your subscriptions come with a 1 year supply of vitamin D, which is important to add in these winter months that are coming up pretty soon in a few months. All right, Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up with this complicated supplement routine to cover $100 per day just to try to stay healthy. All right, Athletic Greens, much cheaper than that. And right now, it's the time to claim your health and, you know, aim for some immune system with the convenient dairy nutrition. All right, there's one scoop in your water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health, all right? And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Thank you for making us your first listener today, and also tell you that there's plenty of different platforms out there, NBA, NFL, you got hockey, you got baseball, you have everything that you need right here on the Locked On Network. So tune into one of those shows that come at you 5 days a week, and most of them are in 30 minutes or less, unless it's Peacock and I. We tend to go a little bit longer, all right? But Peacock's not here today. So again, I'm joined by my new co-host, Jason Aponte, and we're here now to talk about some Trey Lance, all right? And it was interesting. Everyone that went to the podium, a lot of people, I don't want to say they talk glowingly about Trey Lance, but obviously the question about Trey Lance comes up. And I felt like the teammates were very supportive, and they kept going back to kind of one thing, his leadership. And you're hearing it from guys where you're like, well, aren't you supposed to be the leader? But they talked about him being the guy. Even, I mean, Jimmy Ward. Jimmy Ward went as far as to say, like, he is the leader of this team. He's the quarterback, and he's been taking on that role very well, right? So, do you think with how they're kind of approaching this offseason, he's getting all the first team reps, that Kyle Shanahan, head coach and play caller, and the guy that handpicked Trey Lance, feels like, all right, this is his time, and he is ready to be the starter of this team. Now, whatever that ready means, is he ready to lead the team to a Super Bowl championship? We don't know about that. But just in the sense of being able to get on the field and conduct himself as a starter and a leader in the locker room, do you feel like Lance is ready for that?
I do. And the signs were there after the draft. I felt the offensive pieces that they had there were more conducive to this offense being changed over to Trey Lance. And that press conference was way more telling. I think that you and I both know, and everybody who is listening to this knows, that there's more to playing quarterback than what goes on the field, especially the San Francisco 49ers quarterback. You have to be able to walk up to that podium and say the right things. And I felt when he was asked the question, coincidentally by Grant Cohn, about outside negativity and so many people who are ready to label him after 10 quarters of football, well, he said respectfully, I don't view you different as a person, but it's not my job to care about what you say about me on social media. What I care about are those guys in that room.
What did you think about that? Like when you heard him say that, when you could see him almost his face kind of lighting up because like, man, like I don't know how to tell these people this, but I don't give a damn about what y'all think about me. What were your thoughts when you kind of just heard him come out and say that?
I got up and fist pumped and I was like, man, that's it, young man. That was the most respectful way that I've ever heard anybody tell everybody to kiss his behind before in my life ever. I mean, realistically, that is what we were talking about. The whole press conference just oozed of a guy who knows that it's his and is ready for the moment. Now, again, what does ready mean? Ready is a loaded term, as we've heard Steve Young say and you've said before. What ready means on May 26th doesn't mean that ready is when the lights go on and the games actually start. But that press conference was much more telling. On a day that we got a press conference from the new franchise quarterback, and for him to be that poised, not give some sort of cliched answer, robotic answer, that felt very organic. That felt like a guy who was just feeling it in the moment. That discussion kind of got tabled because of the things that we were talking about earlier. But I walked away from that press conference saying, okay, that's a guy right there. That is somebody who didn't rehearse that answer, was waiting to get that off his chest because he's hearing it all, but he did it in a way where it was with words, but at the same time, the body language, everything else oozed, yeah, I'm that guy, and they told me. And that's the thing that we really should have been discussing coming out of that day of OTA, but I walked away thoroughly impressed with the kid. Obviously, we didn't get to see what happened in OTAs on the field, but man, does that kid seem wise beyond his years? And that is a very good sign in a time where we need any sort of good sign that we can from this young man. That was a great first step.
You know, I think, and you talk about first steps, I think this is the first step to him really kind of showing his teammates that he is the guy, because that was a big thing, right? Like when Trey Lance is quote unquote ready, like his teammates will know. And it sounds like, again, they're probably not going to come out and be like, oh man, he's trash. But I do think they go out of their way to say certain things that they just do not have to say. So I think from that standpoint, that's very encouraging with how he's currently being viewed by his teammates. Now let's talk about some of the on-field stuff. And it's crazy that we have to talk about OTAs. You have stats on his passing attempts, his completion percentage, the depth of some of the throws, who had the best throw of the day, all those things. I think those things are being talked about a lot more because of the fact that there's so much unknown with their young quarterback, Trey Lance. So when you do hear that, oh, he completed 16 out of 18 passes, right? And again, we're talking about OTAs. We're talking about 7-on-7. There is no pass rush, right? So he has time to kind of, look. What are some of your thoughts? Because my initial thoughts were, even if he's getting the ball out underneath, is he being quick and decisive with his throws, right? That's one of the things that we wanted to see. How quickly can he get the ball out? We know that he's not, quote unquote, the most accurate quarterback. And maybe he might not ever be just that super pinpoint accurate guy. We know he's a little bit more of a playmaker. But the fact that he is able to complete passes in 7-on-7, in OTAs, in May, at that high of a clip, is that something that you walked away saying, all right, he's taking a step in the right direction? That's pretty encouraging. Or are you one that's saying, I wouldn't worry about that at all. That doesn't mean anything.
A little bit of both. At this point, these OTA numbers are for the same thing you said. They weren't even wearing helmets at this point. But I do think that there is something that needs to be worked on, which is that part of his game in terms of pinpoint accuracy, getting the ball out on time throws. We know Kyle Shanahan wants his ball out on a certain time, and that's sort of what he has done with Jimmy Garoppolo. So again, How much of this is Kyle tailoring his offense to Trey's strengths or trying to build on his weaknesses? So I think it's very interesting that we heard that. Look, we know for a fact, regardless of what anybody says, I am not worried about Trey Lance's arm fitness, arm strength, whatever. Get any of that out of here. We know that the kid has a cannon, and I don't need to see that. We know that. What he does need to do is work on those things. And Kyle Shanahan alluded to that in his press conference about, yes, there's things that he can do, but you still want to see him in structure, drop back, work on those things. This is the perfect time for him to work on these things when there is no pass rush, where you can build that confidence, almost like a shooter, right? Let's say a shooter's struggling, but he makes a layup and he sees a free throw go through the hoop. Your confidence starts to go up. You want to see him be able to hit those quick throws because those throws are going to be the throws that Kyle wants to see him, you know, actually hit during games. That'll open up many things because if you become one-dimensional, then it becomes a lot easier to at least call plays against him and stay and not be on your toes as much. But if he's working on that underneath accuracy, that intermediate accuracy area where, you know, let's be frank, he does need a little bit of work on, and that's fine. He's only played, you know, how much football and how many years. But if he's working on that now and he's started to complete those passes, again, good sign. I'm being thoroughly optimistic with Trey Lance, and I'm going to give him every single opportunity to show his growth. And I think that they're already working on a game plan for him while trying to build on his weaknesses while also putting him in a good position to succeed.
Real quick, you talked about some of his weaknesses. So, you know, obviously Trey Lance, number 3 overall pick. We know a lot of the upside, but based off of the very small sample size and the 2 starts he had last year, what did you identify as some of the things where it's like, you know what, I think he needs to get better at this?
It would be those things. And that's the thing is Kyle wants the deeper throws. And I'm sure that that's why he picked Trey Lance and that's there. But it's those throws that Jimmy Garoppolo actually is very good at. Let's keep it all the way 100. Is those throws at a times where you see Jimmy hit somebody in the intermediate in between two guys and you're like, damn, that was accurate. It was on point and it was on there. You kind of want to see him be able to work on that more than anything. Quick dropbacks or obvious times when you know that you're going to pass, but you need to hit 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7 on a slant, you know, in a perfect spot where the ball needs to be away from a defender, not in harm's way, anything like that. So he does need to work on that aspect. And I think that that's pretty clear. So, yes, it's good to see that they're working through that right now because this is the perfect time to build on that or to build up that weakness. It may never be a strength, but it may never be the weakness that we believe it to be where you have to tear some of that stuff out of the playbook and you can't go to it. So, you know, again, there's skill sets and guys are good at what they're good at. It's not about turning weaknesses into strengths because sometimes that's much harder than people believe it is, but it's about being able to have that in the bag in certain situations. If defenses are taking away the deep ball, if defenses are taking away certain things, you have to find ways to succeed in different ways. So I definitely want to see him work on that intermediate short area range.
Yeah, and 7-on-7, that's something where, again, no pass rush. Talking about 7-on-7 in May, but he is forced to be a passer. Right now, the way I view Trey Lance is someone that is a playmaker. He's going to do things off script, right? Like, you know, and he's comfortable doing those things. A little bit shy to just pull the trigger right now at times. And if he can improve on that, we're talking about somebody that could definitely take his game to the next level. And that'd be great for the 49ers. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo now, Jason. All right. Kyle Shanahan started, you know, to say something in his press conference about Jimmy Garoppolo. And again, we know what the situation is, I assume most people do, but a lot of times you'll hear things in the media, they come out, they start talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, how he's still on the roster. Does that mean that the 49ers do not believe in their young quarterback, Trey Lance? Is this Trey Lance team? I think some of the comments that Kyle Shanahan made during this press conference let us know, like, no, I think this is Trey Lance's team, and they're trying to do everything to push Jimmy Garoppolo out of the door. So right away, I want to ask you, when you hear Kyle Shanahan say, I still expect Jimmy Garoppolo to be traded, you know, and obviously there's a chance that he's on the roster. You don't want to just completely shut the door. But is Kyle Shanahan kind of making it clear that, no, this is now Trey Lance's team, and we are trying to do everything we can to move forward?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that was the thing that I walked away with. Kyle had this spicy vibe around him. It felt like, I don't know if you remember the press conference right before the Rams game, the season finale, when nobody really knew what was going on with the quarterback. I know what we're doing. I just don't want to tell you. That sort of – it had that vibe to it. I'm like, Kyle, it's the first day of media availability. What are you so already spicy about? But I think he's tired of hearing about it. But yes, that was something that I walked away with. Yeah, it's done at this point, I believe. And what Kyle says, you know, obviously there's no guarantees. Cool, that's just giving himself an out, right? In the range of possibilities, it is now at a 99% chance that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be here. But there's always that 1% chance that you don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. And you don't want to make anything too rash until things... It's not done until it's done, basically, Kyle was saying. But yeah, I walked away from that with full confidence that, again, the way that Kyle, you know, the way that Trey dictated and used his press conference sounded like a guy who knows that it's his spot. And the way that Kyle was talking was, yes, we're continuing with this plan. And it kind of piggybacks off what he said during the owners' meetings where he said, yeah, that's why we looked into trading Jimmy. But you don't really just give guys away, especially when some teams don't have any quarterbacks. So, yes, for me, I walked away saying it's done. This is moving in its direction, and there's nothing that can be done at this point about it. Kudos to the way that he's kind of handled it. And if it does happen, good luck to Jimmy Garoppolo, wherever he goes, and thank you for the time that you were here.
When you say how he's handling it, are you talking about Jimmy Garoppolo? Because right now it sounds like he's not responding to any of his teammates or his coaches. Like, nobody has talked to him.
I meant Kyle.
So we got our comment right here from Jerome. Okay, you meant Kyle. But okay, so questions about Jimmy Garoppolo and how he's handled it. He has been someone who everyone, I mean, they just adore the way that he handled the situation last year. You drafted the guy number three overall. It's like, oh, well, yeah, you're still our guy right now. But people know the business element of things. I remember being in the Jets locker room. And we're sitting there. I'm sitting there with Antonio Cromartie. He sees they draft D. Milliner. And he's like, I know my time is coming to an end. Right? Like, the writing was on the wall. You understand the business aspect of things. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. Clearly understands the business element of things. And he knows he's on his way out. Everybody just clamoring to get this young guy in. To the tune of him going on a podcast and saying, I wouldn't wish that situation on my worst enemy. Right? So he knows he doesn't. But is he taking this out on everyone? Because George Kittle comes out and says, hey, Jimmy bought me a phone, but he doesn't even answer any phone calls or text messages. And that seems like something that we're hearing from a lot of people. They have not even talked to Jimmy Garoppolo. So what do you think, or how do you think he's kind of handling this situation right now? And how do you think he wants this whole thing to end?
I think Jimmy ultimately understands, and I think the organization understands, that a split is necessary. And I'm not going to tell Jimmy Garoppolo how to feel about this, because I will give him a ton of credit for the way that he handled it. We are on the heels of listening to Ryan Tannehill say the absolute wrong thing, even if I agree with the sentiment to an extent. And I would put it to you this way. If I was someone who had a 9-to-5 and I was working a job and someone said, hey, I would love for you to train this person that's about to take your job, how do you think I'm supposed to feel about that? Now, football's completely different from a 9-to-5. Right. And you know that there's a business side to this. But the human element, again, that we're going to go back to is something that I feel is understated at some point. So with this, George and him, I believe George believed that they were friends. But much like a breakup, sometimes it hurts to talk to that person, even if you guys are on good terms. Sometimes it you know, you don't want to speak to that person to rehash certain feelings, and you kind of don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear that my ex has moved on to a new quarterback or to a new man or whatever, and they're having a great time. And you like, I don't want to hear that. Even if
you're
I
like,
the best.
Who is it? Squidward looking down out the window, right? At SpongeBob, Patrick.
Exactly. I don't want to look. I don't want to hear that you moved on to a man who has a nice car and he's treating you well. I want the best for you, but I don't want to hear that. And I'm sure that's kind of where Jimmy's at this point. But I do think that there is a point where there has to be a separation on both ends. That would be best for everybody, for him to find a new spot, have a new start, and to let this thing get kicked off with Trey Lance. I don't think that we should read too much into this, because there is a human element to this. He's also rehabbing from his surgery. You don't know what he's going through mentally. Maybe he's struggling with that. Maybe it's not going as well as he thought it would. Things like that. That's some things that people just continue to forget. For everybody who's just like, well, he's sulking, I don't want to project that or say that, because I can't tell. He has a lot of things going on mentally in terms of, man, I had my best time in my NFL career with this team. I'm struggling coming back from this surgery, and I'm going to have to find a new team. Basically, he's on a roster, but he's not on a roster. It's this weird purgatory that Jimmy Garoppolo's in right now, especially when you hear certain comments. So I don't really look too far into it, and the human element a little bit has to be taken into account with Jimmy Garoppolo, and you definitely have to at least feel for him a little bit. I know everybody says, well, he's a millionaire and all that stuff. That's cool. And like, I think this goes back to our point earlier. Money helps, but it doesn't fix, if that makes any sense. Like, he's made a bunch of money, but that doesn't mean that the guy doesn't feel like he's been pushed out the door. And why wouldn't he feel that way? So that's the best I can come up with.
Yeah. I wanted to, and shout out to our guy, Brian Cope in the chat. Says, what up, Eric? What up, Jason? Yes, sir. I want to end this. And again, when I say end this, we're going to end the podcast, right? This is also, you know, going on your Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. But we're going to hang out for a few more minutes and take some of your questions live right here on the YouTube channel. But I want to end this by giving Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit of flowers. All right, someone did mention in there two NFC championships and a Super Bowl appearance. He was the quarterback of that. And I know as much as people wanted to push him out the door, kick him out of the door, there were a lot of good that came with Jimmy Garoppolo being the quarterback. Now, there was some bad too. And most of the bad with being the quarterback was when he was injured and down. I think that did attribute to two bad seasons for the 49ers. But on the field, you won a lot more games than you lost. And that was really cool to at least enjoy that ride. So I definitely want to kind of, you know, give Jimmy Garoppolo his flowers. You definitely had your frustrating moments. All right. You definitely had, well, man, he overthrew this pass or he did this or he missed that. And obviously, you know, a dynamic of Jimmy Garoppolo is he's not the playmaker. So if it ain't there, it just ain't there. And you got to hope he either pinpoint accurate the pass or it might be in trouble. But aside from that, just the ups that the 49ers had and us being able to kind of talk trash to the other teams and, you know, beat the Dallas Cowboys and have kind of ownership over their fan base for at least the rest of this offseason, I think Jimmy contributed to a lot of that. And I just want to kind of say I appreciate Jimmy Garoppolo for that. Any you got any kind of parting words to Jimmy Garoppolo?
I do, man. And I said this, and again, you know, because we've been critical and I think sometimes emotion comes into it, especially during the bigger moments. And I think that's really where the bad comes in terms of sometimes just in the bigger moments, things didn't happen. There's a lot that contributes to that and everything as well, too. But I remember 2017. Those five wins rejuvenated this fan base. That stadium was alive. And I remember him going 5-0 and feeling like, hey, we've got a guy. I mean, this guy looks like a quarterback. And I know that it's funny Colin Cowherd says quarterback face, but I think we all fell into that because he looked like the guy. He's wearing a suit. He's 5-0. He's beating playoff teams. He beat the AFC champion. The Jaguars made the AFC championship, had the best defense in the league that year. And he went in and put 41 on them with a cast of characters that if we looked at now would say, how the hell did he do that? We had that feeling. That was really good. There was a lot of optimism going forward with him. Obviously, 2018, it got washed away pretty quickly with the injury. 2019, regardless of how it ended, was the most fun season I've had as a 49er fan for a long time. I mean, the making the Super Bowl being that close, the Saints game, the 3rd-and-16 against the Rams, these are all things that I'm never going to forget. So at the same token that it happens. It's a business. Teams look to move on. Look at Alex Smith with the Kansas City Chiefs. Many other quarterbacks who have been very good at what they've done have been moved on from. Joe Montana got moved on from. If that can happen to him, that can happen to anybody. But at the same time, it would be remiss of us to not act like we weren't hype after 2017. We didn't really feel like we had a guy in 2019. Here's what I really want to remember. In 2019, after the 49ers lost the Super Bowl, there was open talks about Tom Brady. And including myself, many people said, I don't want Tom Brady. We got Jimmy and he's off of his 2019 season and he's coming off an injury and he's younger. Why not stick with him? And that should be how you remember Jimmy Garoppolo. It would be revisionist history for any of us to say, yeah, we wanted Tom Brady right off the bat, right off of that. No, we wanted the younger guy. Tom Brady was coming off of one of his not really so great seasons with the Patriots. Obviously, that's not how things played out. But that should tell you how high many people were on Jimmy Garoppolo at a point. I just think that later on, as things unfolded, many people started to see certain things. And a lot of that has to do with injury. But I will always credit Jimmy Garoppolo for rejuvenating his fan base, giving us something to believe in, giving us something to cheer for when things were really, really dark as well in 2017. And I will always thank him for the good moments. 2019, this past season, that Rams game was incredible. That was one of the the most thrilling victories I've ever seen, especially coming off that thumb injury, playing the Rams in SoFi, being down that long. Those are memories that I will always have with Jimmy Garoppolo, regardless of the way that it ended.
There we have it, y'all. Jimmy Garoppolo, the best quarterback in 49ers history, according to Jason Aponte. And he will remember him for that and not remember him for the behind-the-back fadeaway interception, his last throw as a San Francisco 49er in the NFC Championship game. We thank you for making Locked On 49ers your first listen of the day. We're going to end the live stream here as far as the podcast goes, but we're staying live right here on YouTube. Thank you all for joining us here. We'll be back Monday right here, Locked On 49ers, with my guy Brian Peacock. We're out. Peace.